Some brands offer you low finance, or cashback, or servicing.
Renault don't do ors. We do ands. The Renault Kadjar, with 1.91% APR and €1,000 cashback and 3 years servicing, saving you thousands. Renault, the brand with the ands. Visit your local Renault dealer. Finance is made under a hire purchase agreement. Terms and conditions apply. Deposit required, subject to lending criteria. See Renault.ie.
Golf Smarter Premium, number 488, published on May 12, 2015. You can avoid golf lessons and save a lot of money using the right training aids with Martin Chuck.
This is Golf Smarter Premium. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Martin.
Hey, it's great to be back, Fred. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. I really enjoy having you on the show. And I want to talk to you about what's going on. I've been seeing you on Revolution Golf a ton. You've been doing a lot of golf videos, a lot of phenomenal instruction these days.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And really helpful stuff. I mean, I hate to admit it, but yeah, I'm watching you on Revolution Golf because I'm getting some great tips.
Thank you.
So talk to me, what's going on with that?
Well, you know, I have a lot of fun with it. It's a great platform. It goes out to tons of people. And, you know, just that kind of exposure for me is really exciting. I know that I've had a message in the game of golf taught to me from some great mentors. And it's just a pleasure for me to share that with people, you know, whether they're in the United States, Canada, around the world, wherever.
And but you're doing a lot of stuff. I mean, how often are you doing new tips?
You know, I'm usually on Revolution Golf once a week, sometimes twice. I'm on twice this week. I'll be on tomorrow, be on Friday. And then usually they kind of have me plugged in on Tuesdays right now, which is plenty because there's a blogging component. You know, we answer questions when people have questions. So every day I'm kind of dedicated to get online and answer questions in the blog to anybody that wants to ask me questions. It keeps me kind of busy.
Is it okay if you answer questions here?
That's why I'm here, buddy.
The reason I say it that way is because right now we're broadcasting this live via video on Periscope. Mm-hmm. And neat. So the audience is looking at you. Hopefully they can hear you as well. I know they can hear me. And I'm looking at my screen. So if anybody who's watching via Periscope wants to ask a question of Martin, please go ahead and submit it on the screen. I'll be able to see it. And I will ask him myself. But I have a couple of questions I need to ask, too.
Fire away, man.
Great. Let's talk about your product line. Always, yep. You're beyond being an excellent golf instructor. You are a very creative entrepreneur with non-tech gadgets. I mean, it's, you know, like there's so many things that need batteries right now that you don't have to, that you're not creating.
Well, you know what? I'm just not very smart, Fred. So if it requires any kind of electronics or something techie, it's not coming from me, I'm afraid.
Well, let's talk about your last product. And I'm going to embarrass you right here. You were supposed to send me one of those inflatable balls.
Did I not do it? I apologize.
You did not. Oh. And just recently, I started remembering about it and thinking, keep your arms together, keep your arms together.
Yeah.
And so tell me about that product and what the purpose of it is and why it helps.
Well, you know, it's called the Smart Ball. The reason I called it the Smart Ball is because I couldn't come up with a better name. But the basically it's a inflatable tiny beach ball. It's got, on the exterior, it's got kind of a felt feel to it. So it kind of sticks to your arms a little bit more effectively than just a plastic beach ball. And then it's got a loop for an attachment to an adjustable lanyard. And that, of course, lanyard goes around your neck. And then you can blow the ball up. It's a 6-inch ball. And that ball fits below your elbows, between your elbows and wrists. And when you can manage that triangle of your forearms while in your golf swing, a lot of good things happen. So, you know, there's been products out there in the past. And, you know, all I think I did was invent a little bit better mousetrap. Because there's been some good products in the past. The problem was if you weren't good at it, the ball dropped and you'd be chasing it around. Or, you know, so I thought, well, I'm going to make something that somebody can stuff in their golf bag that's pretty durable, that they can blow up when they want to use it, you know, deflate when they don't, put in their bag. And then it goes between your forearms, or it also, you can use it as a lot of people will use it under one arm or the other, which is a classic connection drill that coaches have been trying to get people to do for years so their arms don't run off their body so much. So it's just a simple thing. And, the pleasing thing about it is it's been picked up by a lot of tour players. And it's been fun. Like Darren Clark, you know, Ryder Cup captain, major winner. he sent me a video of him using it, you know, at Royal Portrush, his club in Northern Ireland. And it's on Vine, you know, which is another app. I can't keep track to all these apps nowadays. There's Darren Clark using it. And then a lovely gal on the LPGA Tour, Beatrice Ricari, uses it. She's been a great proponent of it. And then Charles Howell uses it. And a bunch of tour players do. And honestly, I haven't reached out to give them away. They've found it and they've ordered it and they use it. So, you know, I'm honored that they considered a training aid worthy of use. And I'm excited to, you know, help out with that kind of level of player want to get better.
That was very subtle, Martin, but I feel like a total scumbag right now saying, why didn't I get my smart ball and these people who are making millions on the tour, you know, and I'm just this lonely podcast.
No, I'm happy to send you one, man. I did my oversight. Unfortunately, you know how you get busy, yeah. And next thing you know.
You were very busy. You're very busy. So explain how it works and what it's supposed to do, because I know that there's multiple functions for it.
Well, you know, like I said, when you know, you blow it up, you put the lanyard around your neck. So you've got this adjustable thing and you kind of get it fit for your personal body shape and height. And then you kind of hold it between your forearms. And if you can go back and make a backswing, certainly in a pitching motion, a three-quarter shot, if you can manage your arms, you're going to become a pretty effective player in that aspect. If you're very flexible, like a lot of the younger people and professionals are, you know, you can take this and pretty much hit full shots with it. So most players, Fred, are stuck with a whole mentality. You know, you got to keep your head down, stay down, stay down, stay down. So they've got that's almost that infliction to such a degree that their arms and their body don't work together. And when that happens, their elbows separate too much. And then they don't have a decent radius of their golf swing, the combination of arms and club as a unit. Well, the ball, smart ball, helps keep your forearms sorted together so that it's easier for you to maintain that swinging radius. And you'll have a little bit more success and reliability hitting a golf ball.
And when you don't inflate the ball?
Oh, when you don't inflate the ball, you'll use it under your left arm, between your left arm and pec or right arm and pec. And when it's in there, you've got the ability, you know, to feel some arm connection more so. So it depends on what you need and what you want to work on. You know, there's the whole idea of connection in a golf swing made famous by Jimmy Ballard, you know, in the late 70s and 80s. You know, it helps with that feeling. The awareness of forearms staying in a proximity to one another, made famous by Ben Hogan in the 50s in his great book. You know, so it helps with elements that coaches have tried to get people to understand for years. And it's a simple product. I mean, it really is. It's, you know, like I said, I'm not very smart, and therefore it's a pretty simple product, but I'm glad it helps people.
You don't have to be smart to make a great product.
You're right. I'm an example.
Why is it important to, you know, the idea of keeping it under your arm like that, so that your arm doesn't swing out on your backswing, right?
Yeah. So why is that important? Geometry of a golf swing, right? Everybody falls in love with the target line. So they always see the ball and they see the pin. They want the ball to go A to B. And that makes perfect sense. But what we get sucked into as golfers is we try to control the club head to make it go down that line. And that defies the geometry of a circle. So when you have anything like when you have connection awareness, you realize pretty quickly that the only thing successful can be a rotational motion that produces a straight shot, you know, via good contact. And trying to guide something down a line actually destroys speed and destroys control. So getting those things under check with something like a connection exercise, whether it be just a towel across your chest and you're holding with both arms, you know, that tends to be kind of cumbersome and awkward, whereas the smart ball, when it's deflated, feels it's a thin little bladder, really, and it fits in your arm quite comfortably. And it just, again, it's a simple way for you to practice. And when you relax and your arm comes away, it doesn't fall on the ground. You're not picking it up. It just kind of hangs from the lanyard that's around your neck, as it does when you're using it blown up between your forearms.
That is such a cool idea. It is so simple.
And
it works so well.
You wait for my next one coming soon.
Oh boy, can you talk about it?
Yes, I can. It's
Please.
Called the Sammy. You know why it's called the Sammy?
Because that's my middle name.
There you go. But it's for my daughter, Sammy, Samantha. Aww. We call her Sammy. And it's an acronym for Structural Awareness Motion Instrument.
I can't write that fast. Structural
Awareness. Motion.
Uh-huh.
Instrument. AKA Sammy. And the reason being is because she goes to this clothing store and they have these chapsticks on a badge reel, you know, those little zippy badge reels. So the chapstick she can put in her belt, she can put on her chapstick, she can let go of it and zips back to her belt. And it made me think of a George Knudsen application for connection between the butt of the club and the left hip bone, well, for the right-handed golfer. See, he didn't, and this is another thing kind of going back to geometry, he didn't want the hands chasing the target line. He wanted the hands working on a concentric hand path. So back up and in, down to a low point, back up and in. Well, when my daughter said to me, she said, "Hey, Daddy, you can do something with this in golf." And it was a fleeting comment and a fleeting thought. And then she ran off to go chase the dog or something. I mean, it was literally that fast. So I thought to myself, you know, I could. So I grabbed her. Little did she know, because she, once she gets onto something new, it's like, "Hey, what happened to that?" She didn't even think about it. So I kind of took her little chapstick badge reel and modified it a bit. And then I sent it off to my designer friends, and we made it into a multifunctional badge reel that can connect to your thumb, to your belt, to your placard on your shirt. Basically, if you want to monitor your right elbow extension, your bending left arm, your how your hand path is, how the flippiness of the shaft relative to your hands. I mean, we can connect this thing anywhere. So as an awareness device, I've been testing it in my golf school for, you know, a couple of months now, and people love the thing because, you know, for example, if you're a if you flip it a little bit, let's say you chip and you know you're hitting pitch shots and you're trying to educate your hands, and you know, you're trying to have just really simple, solid, you know, impact hands that are transported by pivot. Well, if you attach the Sammy to midway down the shaft and then attach it via its little kind of gator clip to your left shirt sleeve, now you have this string running down. And it's pretty easy to see if that string's, you know, waving around inappropriately compared to what a good player is going to do. So it's just a feedback device. If you want to, you can use it on your left arm, you can use it on your right arm. Basically, you can attach it anywhere. The hardest thing for me to do now with this product that's going to be coming out in about 90 days is to make the video short enough, because there's so many applications to use the thing. So I'm excited about it. I think I've got one tour player that uses it all the time, buddy I coach, and you know, it helps him with his backswing width. You know, so again, it's just these little products that I come up with are, you know, I teach every day, all day long. And so I'm always wondering, you know, what can I do in the short term to inspire some feeling for this person so that they've got something to benchmark their awareness for. And thus, you know, this new product, the Sammy. And then I've got another one coming, Fred. I've got about three or four things coming down the road here to add to the Tour Striker product line.
For, well, like, you must be exhausted. Your brain must hurt.
No, again, they're all simple. they're really simple, stupid things that are, you know, that I'm glad to say to help people out. You know, I've got, I know these sexy words. This one's called the Tour Striker Power Sleeve. And it's another awareness device, you know, for the left arm or right arm, depending on what your issue is. And, you know, it's just a very simple little kind of tube deal that will help people understand, you know, what their left arm's doing, or, you know, whether it's bending, whether it isn't, where it's bending, where it isn't. And, you know, so those products are coming soon. So it'll be fun.
And we can find them beyond just online, or?
Yeah, it'll be on tourstriker.com. You know, that some of the attorney legalese and this and that is just being organized, and the web pages are being built. And, you know, again, they're POs in place, good old China. And the product will be available, you know, sooner, hopefully sooner than later. But those things, it takes a while for customs and shipping and so forth.
For those of us who are lucky enough right now to be watching on Periscope, or I'm looking at you via Skype, can you give me a visual right now and explain what you're doing of what Tour Striker Power Sleeve actually does? Can you?
You know, so you got a golfer who, you know, they may not know. Let me back up a bit. They may not know whether they get a lot of left elbow bend, you know. But more, the most important thing with the power sleeve is that when somebody tries to keep their head down too long, typically you get some kind of a chicken wing condition. When your left arm can't bend, like, I'm not saying this isn't a device that is on you to lock your left arm straight. That's not the point of it. The point is for you to feel the awareness of when you bend it. A good swing, a left arm will eventually bend. There's no question. But I want somebody to be able to move their arms relative to their body and have the awareness of where these issues happen. So if they have that awareness, it's amazing as we get older, you know, I'll come back to the whole head down thing, because that's to me the biggest poison in golf, is that as we age, you know, I'm 46, you know, we don't have the same mobility we once had when we were seven. So if I taught some keen seven-year-old and I was a coach and I said, okay, young Martin, you keep your head down, son, and you just keep your head down. That seven-year-old's got the mobility to go and hit a golf ball, and he's like a rubber band and he's Gumby, and he can move the structure of his forearms and arms and body long enough to hit really good shots. Well, as you age, that mobility, unless you work on it every single day, like say a tour player who hits 300 balls a day or 200 balls a day or 500 balls a day and practices, you know, seven or eight, you know, they're going to play five, six rounds a week, depending on the week. They're going to keep building in this mobility because they do it all the time. Well, if you take a golf at 25 or 30 or 40 or 50, good luck with that mobility. Okay. So a better person to mimic to play good golf is more like Annika Sorenstam, my personal favorite golfer, because, you know, she's basically not even looking at a golf ball when she hits it. Now, I'm not here to say don't look at a golf ball when you hit it. I'm here to say have the awareness of a motion that can pass through a golf ball, and then not act like calipers on a brake disc and slow things down to where arms and club and everything kind of lose the swinging rhythm. Well, with the power sleeve, you kind of it's an instant awareness. You know right away, you know where I wear it all the time. I love it. You know right away where the issue happens, and therefore, you know, you can target the relaxation needed. You can target when you need to kind of release your eyes from the ground, which is basically follow the golf ball. But once you have it on, it's easy for people to go, oh boy, I feel a sudden tug here. Okay, well, I'm going to refine that tug. I'm going to ease up on that little hitchy part that clearly can't be helping me. So once again, all my stuff is there to provide a feedback for the person to learn a little faster.
All right, so let's see if we can work on this idea. I have recently discovered for myself that if I slow my swing down consciously, and whether it's slowing it down or just making a smoother, you know, stroke through the ball, like especially with my driver, I'm going, okay, I only want to hit the ball 150 yards.
Right.
When I go on the driving range, and I can hit the ball regularly 225, 230, and that's based on statistics I pull off of Game Golf, not what's in my head. Because, of course, I think I hit it 275.
Of course, we all do.
You're right. But when I'm looking at the stats, like, okay, so you hit it about 225, 230. That's fine. But when I'm on the driving range, I'm like, okay, I want to hit the ball just 150 yards. I don't want to swing hard. I'm also now, you know, picking a flag at 150 on the range, and I'm hitting the flag, right? I mean, I'm hitting my targets. I'm getting a lot more fairways. And to me, what I find happening is the more fairways I hit, the more pars I'm getting, because I'm getting greens in regulation, because I don't have to be, you know, try to be creative.
Right.
How can I take that rhythm, that slower rhythm, with all my clubs? And, you know, because I can, now I'm getting to the point where, like, whoa, I really tried to swing hard on that and the ball did not cooperate at all. I'm finding just better ball flight. I'm finding straighter shots. I'm hitting my targets better.
Yeah. You know, I tell you what, that's a great question. I think one mentor, I like to quote Ben Doyle, and I'm not sure if he was the originator of this comment, and he passed away this year. So a lot of teaching pros out there owe a great depth of gratitude to Ben Doyle. He was the original golfing machine instructor as trained by Homer Kelly. And he used to say, always eyes on the ball, mind in the hands. Well, eyes in the ball, mind in the hands, to me, you know, to me, the ball's not going to go anywhere. You know, it's just sitting there. And frankly, I don't really stare at it. It's more like just a casual observation from my eyes. But my inside feelings are really in my hands. See, I don't ever ground the golf club, Fred. And my mentor, George Newton, taught us from the kids that he influences when we were in a little group of junior golfers to never ever rest the club in the ground. Because he wanted us to establish a peaceful grip pressure with the club in our hands, not a grip pressure with the club on the ground. Because he always said, well, if the club's on the ground, at some point you're going to snatch away to grab that golf club to take it back. So he always wanted us mobile from the wrists with the club off the ground. You know, Jack Nicklaus is a good example. And Tiger Woods, you know, club doesn't really rest on the ground. It's always a part of his body. And then from there, you have an awareness of mobility in the wrists. Well, if you're always sensing wrist grip pressure and wrist awareness, it's pretty tough to get really wonky as far as rhythm goes. So the people that I come see me every week at the golf school, a lot of them put it on the ground, put the club on the ground behind the ball, aim the face where they want the ball to go. That's great. And then their first move is like they're playing flute. Their hands kind of open to a degree, they close to a degree, and away they go. And so I call this the grip and go. And the grip and go is troublesome because you can't always grip and go. You don't always have a lie that dictates that you can do that. The ball may be sitting down in the rough. Well, you're not going to stick the club down in the grass. You have to hover it at some point. So to me, it's best to hover it always. Now, when I say hover it, I'm not talking about a foot. I'm talking about, 3/16 of an inch, some negligible amount off the ground to where your hands have a peaceful hold on the grip, yet you have mobility awareness in your wrists. And that to me is how people can have rhythm awareness all the time, because if their hand strength and tension doesn't change much, pretty tough not to have rhythm.
You don't look at the ball?
I look at it, but it doesn't matter to me, honestly. I mean, I'm casually aware of it. Like I look, people send me, hey, Martin, where do you look? I go down. And it's kind of a play on words because the ball really means very little to me when I'm playing golf. I look at it and, there it is. And I set the face up where I want the ball to go. But once I kind of look at it and, I look back at the ball, my brain isn't worried about the ball at all. My brain's more worried about how my personal body feels at the moment, what I need in that swing as far as what certain feels as far as trajectory, club path, my expectations of where the ball's going to go, the visual of the target is burned into my head. And that's where my brain's at. The golf ball, nobody's going to come move it, so I don't have to give it a great deal of attention.
I sense a contradiction here. You sound like there's a whole lot of stuff going on in your head before you hit your ball.
Well, let me walk you through what it would look like if I was hitting a shot. If you were in my brain, okay, first off, I never take a practice swing at the golf ball. I would select a club. My practice swings are behind the ball on the target line, and they may not be full. I may take a full casual practice swing rip on a tee box just to make sure that I'm loose. Now, when I set up to hit a shot, I'm going to tee it up, make sure my feet are have a good place to stand. Or, in the fairway, you don't have that luxury. But on a tee box, I'm going to tee it up, make sure I've got a comfortable place to stand. Then I'm going to stand behind the ball. And this all takes just a moment. And I'm going to look. I'm going to see where I want my golf ball to start. Where's my start line? And then from there, how do I want my ball to curve? Now, if I'm going to play a little fade or a draw, I'm going to visualize that. There's where my ball's starting. There's how it's curving. So if I want it to start somewhere, that's one thing. I can aim the face as best I can to start the ball there. If I need to curve it, I need a club head path going a slightly different place than where my face starts it, because you need a differential between face and path to curve the ball. So you go, how technical is this? Well, this is all blink stuff. It's like if I typed you a note, I don't even know what I'm typing. And there it is. There's the note, hi Fred, blah, blah, blah. Thanks, look forward to seeing you again, Martin. Well, in there is a bunch of subconscious stuff that's only subconscious because I've trained it in. And as a golfer, to become a good golfer, you have to learn how to take conscious thought through the right experience and repetitions so it jumps the fence into subconscious, so that communication isn't like smoke signals, okay, and it's not Morse code, and it's not even old analog phone, that it's, high-speed fiber optic, because when the communication from brain to body become high-speed fiber optic, now people can say they're really not thinking about something because their conscious doesn't know they're thinking. It's so fast that they look, they react, and then they say, oh, I just play golf because I look and react. That's rubbish. You play that way because you've trained that your speed of the conscious has went from slow, calculated, into subconscious look and react behavior that's trained in, like learning how to type. So anyway, not to jump back to that, I naturally set in, I aim the face where I want the ball to go. And then from that moment, the ball kind of goes away because now I'm kind of in myself. What do I want to feel? Where's my balance going to go? Now you can think, well, those are a lot of swing thoughts, but not really. They're kind of gross motor skill thoughts. And, I'm just trying to kind of make this overall motion in some kind of balance that matches previous feelings of success. And hopefully it's a good shot. And if it's not, I go find it. I hit it again.
And again. And again, well, at least I do.
Sure.
It reminds me of when I was young and driving a stick shift. And there are many times where I'm like, how'd I get in third gear?
Yeah, there you go. How'd you get from, you know, your driveway to the store? You don't even remember how you got there, right?
Yeah, it's like, wait, what? I'm in third. I reached down. It's like, it's in third already. How did that happen? Yeah. Didn't even think about it.
Right.
Another thing that you said that jumps out at me, it's like, because I should be paying attention to this because I learned from you so much. You don't rest the club on the ground. Okay.
I don't.
I do. But I can see, you know, I'm really starting to focus on finding the bottom of my swing arc lately. And so I'm really kind of focused, and I hate using that word because I'm focused on a target, but I really, send my eyes about an inch in front of the ball.
Okay.
So that I can, you know, avoid hitting behind the ball. And that's helped me a little bit, keeping my eyes, you know, off the ball, just in front of it. What about your putter?
You know, I try not to ground my putter either.
Wow.
And now when I say, because think about it, I think the yips actually come from the people that have a hard time putting. I really believe the yips come from some sort of collision between conscious and subconscious, right? I mean, you don't trust something. You don't trust your pace. You don't trust your aim. And, you know, in that lack of trust comes a flinch. Now, if you are listening to this out there and you do have a hard time putting and you don't trust your stroke, I want you to tee up some golf balls on the putting green. I know that sounds crazy, but tee them up half an inch and then just stroke them off of a high tee and hover the putter there naturally, because I think the ground plays a role in this. I mean, the people that quote stub their putt, you know, that actually can hit the ground when they putt accidentally, they quote stub it. Well, you know, there's a subconscious fear that, let's take that fear away. Now, I'm not saying that you hover the putter an inch off the ground when you putt. That's not it. But we use the expression ladybug at the golf school, meaning that in all shots, we want you to gently set the club on the back of a ladybug. Don't kill her. Just set it down there. So there's a dimension between the bottom of the club and the grass. And it's a little dimension. And you can tap her and you can wake her up, but don't squish her. And then from that radius, from that dimension you've established, go ahead and putt and go ahead and chip and go ahead and hit your shots. Now, if you watched me hit balls, Fred, you wouldn't go, well, Martin's hovering the club, because it's a tiny dimension. Now, if you looked really closely, and besides, I'm not static either. I mean, I'm not just standing there. I'm always kind of moving around and moving my feet and waggling and feeling rhythm before I initiate my swing with rhythm. You know, and even in putting, I'm never standing there statically. There's always a rhythm to it. I look, I react, I go. But that look and react is very specific. It's trained in. It's something I practice when I do practice now, which isn't often. But it's, I believe that routine and rhythm of the routine is a critical thing that people really have to be aware of.
Would a teacher look at you and say, you need to quiet yourself down? You're moving too much. There's so much going on before you hit the ball.
Maybe, but everybody's welcome to their opinion. But I think if the teacher watched me hit a ball, they'd probably say, hey, Martin, you got a really good golf swing. You know, so, I mean, I'd say to the teacher, hey, let's go play for $5, you know?
and you're fired. What do
no,
I need you
no,
for?
No, no, no. I think, you know, I maybe in this interview, I'm not sure how it comes across, right? But you have to recognize, you know, where your brain's going. There's nothing really simple about it until your brain body make it simple. Like typing. I mean, I come back to that, or playing a musical instrument. Some people make it look like they were born with a trumpet in their hands. Well, they weren't. Good thing. It'd be painful for their mother. But the point is, through tremendous practice, right, you become one with something. And not tremendous, and it's the right kind of practice. So in golf, it's the same way. You become one after, you know, with certain behaviors, whether they're good or bad. And I see people that come to the golf school, they stand there rigidly over a golf ball. We teach kind of a walk-in pattern that's rhythmical. That I think the golf swing starts, you know, way before you take it back. It starts when you've, you know, I use this expression, read, plan, do, and review. So the read and the plan part, you know, we walk up to a shot. Well, what do we have? You figure your yardage, you're reading, okay? You're looking at the lie, and then you're planning your strategy, right? You walk in, there's the do component, there's a swing part of it, right? and the review component, which is a big part of what George Knutson taught us kids was, you know, he always called it the 3-second rule, meaning that we couldn't get mad at ourselves for 3 seconds. We had to kind of stand there for a moment, try to have some feedback for what we just did, whether it was good, bad, or indifferent, and then possibly learn from that swing rather than hit and, you know, slump our shoulders and throw our club or whatever. Then he'd be upset with us. So there's always a read, plan, do, and a review at any golf shot for a person that wants to play high-level golf or any kind of decent golf.
We may not have been born with a golf club in your hands, but right now it sure looks like Steph Curry was born with a basketball in his hands.
There you go.
Oh, boy. About as natural as it gets. All right, off of basketball for a second. I want to promote, if I may, another one of your products, because this is what puts you on the map, right? Tour Striker.
Sure.
I think that it's something that, you know, you may be tired of talking about. It's like, yeah, it's been around for a while, but there's a lot of people who are still, especially when I have it out on the driving range with me, that it's like, you know, you want to try this thing. Tell us a little bit about the history. Tell us what the value of a Tour Striker and the variations
of it. Sure. So I'm a big believer in intent. If you have the right intent to do something, and you know, there'll be more success. So being a teacher for many years, I've been teaching now for 30 years, which is crazy. Started when I was 16. And you know, for a lot of teachers are frustrated, as are students, because we try to convey a message and sometimes that message is lost in the translation. And what I found was that, you know, fine, a good player hits shot and it's like, wow, okay, that sounds different. That produces a divot, you know, a small divot after impact, and the ball kind of goes far and they don't look like they're swinging that hard. And, you know, what's the secret sauce there? Well, they move the golf club differently than the person who's having, you know, the hard time. Well, through teaching, I realized that if I really hit well, I really don't need the bottom couple of grooves on a golf club. And I'm talking about off a cart path even. And in fact, if you're bored out of your mind, go to my YouTube channel. I posted a video. I'm hitting a Tour Striker off a cart path and the ball's going airborne fine. And because it's not about hitting down so much in golf, everybody's got down. When you swing at a golf ball, there's going to be a down. You don't swing up at a golf ball. I shouldn't say that. Some people do. But every circle's got an element of down. Every circle's got an element of up. Well, in golf, since it's an inclined circular game, it's got a down and an out, and it's got an up and an in. Well, if we can get your down and out in the right place, then you're going to play some pretty good golf. And if we can get your down and out in the right place, you know, there's going to be some element of a club head trailing behind a handle a little bit. And that is what's called foreshaffling. So, you know, when people are standing there trying to hoist the ball off the ground because they think that they have to, it's their job to get it up, and a normal golf club let them have some limited success doing that, I decided to be mean and take away that limited success. Because if somebody wants to hang back and hoist a golf ball off the ground, they're never going to get that amazing compressed feeling that good players get all the time. And they're never going to get the distance that they deserve for their, you know, physical talents. So by taking away the bottom grooves, basically really raising the leading edge, you know, more than almost an inch off the ground, the player's forced to learn how to use the tool differently. And in forcing them to do that, it might inspire something, you know, for them to think about how they move the club differently. And that's the whole purpose of it. So that they have foreshaffling, so they can have, you know, somewhat a shallow downward strike, and they can strengthen the loft on the face rather than weaken the strike loft. So, I mean, that's the whole genesis behind the Tour Striker. And it's been a great ride. I mean, it's been hard to believe now. You know, it's been 7 years since that's been out, and that's crazy. We've sold a lot of them all over the world, and, you know, and it's put me on the map as a coach, which is cool, and it's fun. So, you know, lucky.
Yeah, well, I understand the luck part, but there's nobody more deserving. I'm so happy for you that it's such a success, and it opens the doors to allow you to introduce new products like Sammy and the Bank Swing. No, the wait. I got it. Tour Striker Power Sleeve.
That's right.
Right. I wrote something that I was going to ask you about and never got to. Listen, I got to take a short break here. And then when we come back on the podcast, can you give us a quick tip? And I'm going to record that on video so we can email it out and let everybody know, put it on Facebook and say, Martin's going to be on the podcast again, so you got to check this out. And for those folks who've been watching on Periscope, thank you for watching, but I'm going to turn you off now because you're going to have to wait for that video tip too.
There you go.
In our next episode, I'm back on the road to California's gold country at the base of the Sierras, where we're going to meet Alan Ramarini, head golf professional at Greenhorn Creek Golf Course that was redesigned by Robert Trent Jones Jr. But first, here's a tip from Martin on why we slice the ball and how to fix it. You'll probably want to see this video, so please check it out on our YouTube channel at Golf Smarter TV. Okay, Martin, thank you so much for waiting for me. I can see now that you're wearing my smart ball.
Yeah, this is thank smart you. Ball. I didn't ship it.
Okay, well, that's why I didn't get mine. That's okay. Right. All right, we're going to record this on video as well as putting it on the podcast, but I want to be able to share this with everybody. So share us a quick Tour Striker, Mr. Tour Striker tip.
That's Mr. Tour Striker, sure. So, I've got my Tour Striker. Of course, I've got to practice with my Tour Striker in my golf room here. But I'm wearing the smart ball. And once again, early for those viewers that or listeners too, earlier we talked about if you can manage your arms, Fred, you can hit a lot of really good shots. Because what happens is a lot of people, in their backswing, they'll get a lot of elbow separation. And I'm not going to say you can't play a very good golf from there. You can, but you better get in a lot of reps to build in the familiarity from taking your radius from address, getting your elbows separated, and then getting to impact in a good place. So if you have something like a smart ball, it really, really helps. Now, the tip I want to share with you guys today is most of you suffering out there slice the golf ball. So a slice, a shot that is something that goes, a path that gets over the top and wipes across the target line is usually going to spin the ball and create a slice. We all know that, over the top swing, that's nothing new. So how are we going to fix that? Well, I want you to consider this. When we stand erect and we bend over, we've got a dress angle, a dress body posture. I want you out there to learn how to turn your shoulders a little bit steeper, because if you can get your lead shoulder down, okay, and not necessarily under your chin, because Rory McIlroy swings his shoulder, if he had lipstick on, he'd get his shoulder really, really colored in lipstick. But the point is, most people take their backswing, Fred, and they turn their shoulders too flat. And then as soon as they initiate some energy from their body, their arms go out too much. And then they react by swinging down too much. And that's how they spin the ball and hit big slices or a lot of pulls. So if we learn how to get tipped over to the golf ball a little bit better and let our lead shoulder work a little bit down, which is not that easy if you're not used to using your abs this way, from here it's not even going to make sense to try to go over the top. You'll want to reroute those arms nicely to the golf ball. And guess what? You won't slice it anymore.